Everybody calling. I've been waiting patient to get you along. Yeah. Just throw it at me.
That's our guy, Kerry Davis.
I love it.
Who joins us right now via the Brown and Crouppen
celebrity line. That sounds like a pretty good singer to me.
Damn right it was.
That's going to make my Valentine's Day mix with the wife from now on. I'm like, hey, Kerry, call my wife and sing to her for me.
There you go.
Well, maybe I won't do that.
With Jamie Rivers, I'm Anthony Stalter. Kerry, Super Bowl champion with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And more importantly, I know not only to us, Kerry, but you too, a close friend of ours. Because I know that you love that Super Bowl ring, Kerry, but certainly you love us more.
Better friends, yes, definitely. I'm definitely more proud of you all than I am of any accomplishments and accolades that I've made as a professional athlete.
That
I appreciate
sense.
You all. I love you all and, you know, thought you my brother from another mother.
That's
you know how I do it.
I won't take that personally, Kerry. That's fine.
Kerry,
I do apologize.
Kerry, listen, when you do a Rams preseason, preseason, but a Rams preseason post-game show together, is it like 2 a.m.?
I think we became closer doing those sixth, seventh round draft, Ram draft, trying to figure out who this guy is and where the hell he's from. And yeah, he's a great guy. I don't know him that well, but you know, he looks good.
We did. We had those. That's right. I mean, it was me, Kerry, and Michael Young, and we would do the entire draft, and it would be seventh round of us being on air for like. I mean,
you guys are Googling.
Like 12, oh,
players.
Yeah.
Who the heck is this?
It's like 12 hours we'd been on air.
Yeah.
And you're a little punch drunk at that point. So
definitely.
Anyways, Kerry, let's get into this. So I know you don't know the exact situation going on in Green Bay, but you played the game, played at a highest level. You played for a long time, you played for different organizations, you played for winning teams, you played for losing teams. You know the game inside and out. You also know what the locker room is like. You hear, whether it's Aaron Rodgers, Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson, whoever, if you hear a starting quarterback say, I want out, I want to be traded, what's it like in the locker room for the rest of that roster?
You know, I think that's kind of – it's heavy. It's heavy on the guys in the locker room, especially when they seem extremely adamant that they want to leave. I mean, your quarterback is you know, he's an extension of the coach. He's on the field. He's the guy that, you know, he's the only guy that when he talks, everyone shuts up. He gets in the huddle and everyone listens. He has the information needed to run the next play and to be successful. So when that guy says he doesn't want to do it anymore, doesn't want to be there anymore, I think it definitely can send waves through that locker room and have guys kind of pondering what's the next step, what's going on, and can this relationship be prepared, or are we going to just – you know, go on and live life without, you know, one of the all-time great quarterbacks to ever play this game. It's just a tough situation to be in. And you know, as a player, you never get upset at the player for making a decision that's about him, because you understand that the teams are going to make a decision that's best for them. I mean, they drafted a quarterback a few years ago, last year, and let you know as the starting quarterback that this is what we think. So, people get upset when players make decisions either holding out or requesting trades, and you're not a great player, you're not a team player, but teams do that every single day, and it's well within their right, and as a player, it's well within your right to do so as well.
All right, so Kerry, help me out here, because we talked about this the last couple of days, and we're trying to figure out the best way out for both sides on this, and every time I came back to it, I was like, well, if you lose the reigning NFL MVP, your team is substantially worse. You were one game away from the Super Bowl, and now you're losing the guy that got you there. But then at the same token, you don't want to fire the GM as the player has requested, because I think that sends the wrong message too. So how do you whittle your way out of this thing, Kerry?
You hope and pray that you can tell Aaron Rodgers something that he chooses to stay. And, you know, you hope that you can smooth things over and make him feel more comfortable. But like I said, when you draft someone at your position in the first round, you're setting a clear tone of what you think of, you know, the person that's there and what your expectations are for that relationship going forward. And I don't know if it can be repaired. I don't know if Aaron Rodgers wants it to be repaired. Obviously, the team has the better cards here, because he's under contract and, you know, you have to play that out, or you can choose to sit out and pay fines and all of that, things of that nature, which most people don't want to spend money doing that. But, you know, it's just a situation where you have to figure out how to make everything better and smooth things over so that your franchise, all-time, all-everything quarterback will still be there. But this is not new for the Packers. I mean, they did this with Brett Favre. I mean, they had to make that transition eventually. But Aaron Rodgers is still playing at an elite level, winning MVP. So it may be a little bit different, but it's a lot similar to what just happened. Well, not just happened, but what happened when Aaron Rodgers was drafted.
Yeah, it's crazy how we're seeing history in some respects.
Groundhog Day, Anthony.
Yeah, repeat itself. It's crazy. Kerry Davis, Super Bowl champion with the Pittsburgh Steelers, Hazelwood Central alum as well, head football coach, Hazelwood Central, so local product, Kerry Davis. Kerry, you've played for an organization with the actually, you know what? You played with two organizations. One the Falcons with Michael Vick, and then obviously the Steelers with Big Ben. Two stars in their own rights. Now, a little big earlier in the career with Big Ben, certainly when you got to there with Pittsburgh. But, you know, a situation like this with Aaron Rodgers, how much leeway do you think an organization should give to a star player? I mean, could you imagine Big Ben calling, you know, shots about maybe the roster or Michael Vick doing the same thing? How much do you think a star quarterback should be given kind of the freedom to speak up on roster decisions?
Well, I think when you're paying people, you know, the amount of money that they're getting paid, they should have a voice. They should have a say in the talent that they want around them, the people that they want around them, because you're paying them a king's ransom to play a game, and you are trusting that your franchise will be better because of them. So you have to give them, you know, a little leeway and allow them to have a say or allow them to help. I think that's kind of the issue with Russell Wilson out in Seattle. He feels that, now, I'm getting paid this money, but you all aren't making the correct decisions and not doing the things that we need in order to be better. So I definitely think it's just a relationship that's kind of give and take. I think the player has to understand, you know, what the team needs, and the team needs to understand what the player needs. And you work together. And I mean, you know, in marriage, you guys are married, obviously, when you communicate and give and take, and each party is willing to sacrifice a little bit, things work smoothly, and as opposed to when one side says, no, I'm not budging, and the other side is kind of looking crazy, waiting on something to happen.
Yeah, no, that's not smart. Don't tell your wife that you're not going to budge, Jamie. She's going to hurt you. Kerry's right.
I get in enough trouble on my own, that's for sure. Kerry, the Chicago Bears this year in the draft, they tried to right a wrong with their Mitchell Trubisky pick a couple years ago, and they follow the formula again. They move up and they choose Justin Fields to be their future quarterback. Again, a little bit of a situation where they called Andy Dalton and told him that they're drafting Justin Fields, even though I didn't think they needed to necessarily call Andy Dalton.
But QB1.
But they did do
QB1.
It.
QB1.
QB1, you know, good for him. But, yeah, what do you make of the Bears making that decision to go after another guy, another franchise quarterback that has dropped a little bit in the draft? And I don't really know why he dropped a little bit, but what do you make of the pick?
I thought that was interesting that Justin Fields came in. I mean, Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields were 1 and 2 from their high school days and all through college. And then all of a sudden you watch all of this film, and then and when they get to pro day or where they have the combine, but pro days this year, now all of a sudden we're going to critique everything that a man has put on film. Last I checked, football was not played in shorts and T-shirts. It's played in football pads, it's helmets, and contact is involved. So what a guy does, you know, on the field in between those lines should always weigh more than anything else. And so, Jamie, I don't know. I don't understand why he slipped. But as far as the Bears go, I think they have been searching for a quarterback for a long time. I mean, a really long time, somebody that can – do something to help them. I know Grossman took them to the Super Bowl some years back, but I think Jim McMahon is probably still their guy as far as quarterbacks go in Chicago. So that was 38, 36 years ago. So
that's a long time ago, Kerry.
Yeah, a long time ago. You've been searching for that guy since then. I think they did make a good decision. If you're just comparing Andy Dalton and Justin Fields, the ceiling is greater it's much higher for Justin Fields. He's younger, and he's done a lot of things at the collegiate level that, you know, hopefully will translate to the NFL level. So I'm definitely looking forward to seeing what he does. And the Bears will never be able to correct the mistake of drafting Mitchie Football, as Salter and I like to call him. But they can try to go, you know, change things and go in the right direction. I think this is a step in that direction.
Hey, Kerry, before we let you go, was there a quarterback or a player that you really loved the selection of last weekend, first round or otherwise?
I mean, I think obviously Trevor Lawrence was the shoe-in for Jacksonville. I love that they got Travis Etienne as well. I think that was I think Travis Etienne is a hell of a football player. I mean, I think I should be a bit of a homer and go with Najee Harris to the Steelers, because that was definitely a great pick for them. They got to figure out some things up front, but you know, I love Travis Etienne. I love the fact that they're able to go play college and the NFL together. I think that's going to be special for those two guys.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Absolutely. Kerry, love having you on the show. We love you, man.
We miss you, Kerry.
Always great to hear
love
from
you.
We'll talk to you again soon, all right?
All right, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, thank you. That's Kerry Davis.